Om Shanti. Very warm welcome everyone in the room, and of course very warm welcome to beautiful brothers. We have a wonderful session this morning. The topic is the power of now, you know, and we all know the power of now. Baba is always telling us a lot about it. So to have a very deep conversation on this particular topic, we have Brother Augusto and David Bhai, and I would really invite our brothers to introduce each other before we start. So enjoy this morning with brothers. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Good morning to everyone. In fact, we thought that this session could have as a topic the power of now with Baba. But for some reason, the most important part was suppressed with Baba. And in the reality, I'm going to introduce myself, and David, if it's really necessary to introduce himself, he will do it. But my name is Augusto. I'm from Rio in Brazil. I've been with Baba for 24 years. I've lived in a Baba's house for 17 years, and last year I had to move back to my mother's house due to her health. But I keep on going every day to Baba's house, and I am Baba's instrument for the youth service in Latin America, and so very, very firm with Baba during all of this time. So David, do you really need to introduce yourself?
Maybe someone here
doesn't. I don't think so.
So yeah, my name's David. I've been with Baba now for 40 years. This year's 2024. I took Gyan 84. And I've been here in Gyan Srova since beginning. So from 95 I've come here as actually doing Seva, but it become more Seva here, and it's what started off as just a few months become 4 months and 6 months a year, then 1 year here. And so, like Summer Pit here, or surrendered in Gyan Srova. And I took Gyan in Australia, in a very small village in the northwest of Australia. And actually, in fact, it's interesting because when I took this Gyan, I actually was in a very remote place, and I went on this property, and there was a caravan on this property, an old caravan, and a lot of hippies had been in this town and along the beach. Mm-hmm. And when I went into this caravan, there was a picture of Mama and Baba and this tiny little book, which maybe some of you know or maybe not know, but it's called Jewels of Knowledge, tiny little booklet. When I opened this booklet, the little paragraph in this booklet, the first thing I read was, right now, 5,000 years ago, you're reading this. Yeah? And it was such an experience, because it was just like, wow, it was just like almost mind-blowing that at this moment now, 5,000 years ago, I was reading this, you know. And it really made a very deep impact. And of course, I've always been fascinated with this thing of, okay, what does it mean, really, the power of now, or to be in the now? And of course, this has been going on for a long time in our lifetime. And there's been a lot of talk about this, and a lot of spiritual groups, a lot of this whole thing of this power of now. What does that really mean? And of course, as Augusto just said, you know, the power of now with Baba, but in fact there's only the power of now in a true sense. And of course we as Brahmins and as knowledge, we know that okay, Baba is in this realm of silence, soul world, yeah. His language is silence, Baba's language is silence. And of course when we come back to that space of silence, What's actually, where is that space? And of course this is something which is very interesting, because it's like from my own experience, it's like And just a little bit before that, I remember seeing Nwebai one time, and I said to Nwebai, I said, Nwebai, what do you think about this? And he says, I don't think. I was a bit taken back by the response, but, you know, Nwebai, many, many years he did a lot of classes on silence. Like, it was really his forte, this aspect of silence, and presence as well. A lot of times you could, and sometimes in the early days too, with Brahma Baba, you know, when people had come with some problem to Brahma Baba, when they'd get in his presence, they'd forget what the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was almost like the power of that presence, or the power of just being in the moment, in that state of silence, everything dissolves, it disappears. That there's no problem. And it's interesting because a lot of time the problem is created through the thinking, not actually what's happening right now. And if we all observe this, we'll find that that's actually very true.
Yeah, maybe some of you also have these experiences with samdhajis. You go there to tell your problems and you just forget them because of their presence. Yeah, it's really very true. In fact, when we were discussing about which one would be the topic, we were trying to connect with it with the main theme of the season, which is harmonizing sanskars. And we were talking that the power of now is something very much connected with the harmonizing sanskars, because the clashes of sanskar that exist in Brahmin life, they happen very much because we are holding an image of the past of someone, or we project some expectation of that person, how she should act, how he or she should act, and then we create a future image of that soul. So if there are clashes of sanskars, it's definitely because we are not present in the moment. We are not having a relationship with the other soul in that very moment. And when we speak about the power of now with Baba, it's very important to make this difference, to see this difference between the power of now for the Iron Age and the power of now for the Confluence Age, for us as Brahmins, as Baba's children. Because we know very well that mindfulness uses many physical techniques to keep one in the now. So whatever you see in this room is valid to keep you in the now. Like, for example, I pay attention to these flowers and I stay in these flowers. I can pay attention to the clock, to the camera, to Daji's picture, and then I stay in the now. But what Baba brings us as the power of now is much deeper than just paying attention to the physical things. Because the power of now with Baba connects us to our eternity, to our real spirituality. And for me, particularly, being here after 2 weeks, after spending 2 weeks here in Madhuban, and 2 days before leaving, is almost like sharing my Madhuban experience with all of you, which begins before coming to Madhuban, when I got some stimulation in the Baba's house from Rio, where I go every day, to make that work of giving all your vikarmas from this birth, all your sins from this birth. I don't like this word sins. It sounds Christian, But the all the things that I did against my real nature throughout this birth. And this is something that I began to write 4 years ago, and I wrote 15 pages telling my self-biography, giving to Baba the wrong things that I have done. And then, something like 10 days before coming to Madhuban, I got this stimulation in Baba's house, and then I went back to write this letter. So I wrote 6 more pages, and then I brought a 21 pages letter to give to Baba. And at the ending of this letter, there is a summary with the topics for the next letter, because it was not enough. All the 21 pages were not enough. And one thing that I realized from this letter, I stimulate all of you to do this, not only because Baba says to do, not only because he says that we settle half of these vikarmas, half of these sins from this birth, but also because it gives a lot of clarity to you about your own process, about yourself. And one of the main realizations from this letter, as I was revising it here in Madhuban, was that I used to live very much in the world of imagination. So I would love to imagine possible worlds for myself, brighter future for myself. But of course, that all of these imaginations were based in the ego. And having this topic to discuss with David and with you really made me come to a realization about how much I prevented myself to live in the now, how much I prevented myself to be present in each and every moment of my life. And a question that I've been holding during this Madhuban trip is, how much do I really value everything that Baba is giving me? How much do I really value everything that Baba is creating through me? How much do I really value the Brahmin life? Because the Brahmin life is about every moment with Baba. Every moment we have the opportunity to remember Baba. Every moment we have the opportunity to create a new bright world, which is just a fantasy. To think about the golden age is just a fantasy if we do not create it now, in this very moment. So it was very, very fruitful to have this topic and to have this session to share with you, because it was an opportunity for me to reflect about how much I am really living in the present, how much I'm really enjoying the beauty and the power of Brahmin life, because it's not a common thing, it's not an ordinary thing to create the golden age, to write the scripts of the whole history that we are going to live throughout 5,000 years. So it was a beautiful opportunity to be here in Madhuban and to revise for myself the real importance, the real power of every moment of my Brahmin life with Baba.
Wonderful. Yes, it's like it's you know, the more it's almost like it's the other day when Surya Bhai was giving a talk, and he was speaking a lot on silence, and of course a lot on actually, you know, how long can we be in that state of silence where not even a thought comes, like there's a lot of time between even a thought, let alone thinking. And of course, this sort of state of being is really that sort of like that seed stage state where we're really in that, because once we're in that state where that deep silence, where we're just in that state of being, this is a complete state actually of the soul. It's, you know, because a lot of time if we catch ourselves how much we think and thinking about something, yeah? And sometimes it doesn't stop that thinking. And especially if there's some drama going on in our world where something's happened and we can't stop thinking about that and that maybe that situation, that person, whatever it is. And of course, Baba says, okay, past is past. When he says this thing is past, that's a full stop. Yeah? And where's that full stop? That's in the present moment. That's in the now. And sometimes he says also, it's now or never. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That quote also we use a lot, now or never. What does that really mean? It's either we stop and we just be in that present moment now and realize this is actually perfect. Drama is perfect. Each moment is perfect. Each soul is just playing their part. No one's to blame. Mm-hmm. It's literally, they're just, souls are just playing their part. So, but for me to really be grounded in that awareness, because the power of now with Bubba's, there's no thinking involved. Thinking is actually the obstacle. Because as soon as we think, we're thinking about something in the past, or we're thinking about something in the future. The present moment is that state of silence, and it's with Bubba. That's Bubba's world. Silence is Bubba's world. It's his Bubba's language. And of course, in a creative sense too, that's where things are born out of that state of silence. Creativity is born out of that. Even in the Lockic world of artists, if you speak to artists and well-known artists and that, it's like they'll all say that it's in those moments of silence that ideas come, a new sort of something gets emerged. And of course, in Bubba's, in our world here with Bubba, it's like the same thing actually happens. It's like we can never, it's almost like we could never really plan out what's going to happen next in a true sense. Because even Bubba says this, no, we don't know the next second. We can say, oh yes, yes, tomorrow's the 6th of December. We can say that, but actually when it's tomorrow, it is still now. It doesn't change. The present moment never actually changes in our life. It's just the thinking changes. We think we create a time, we create a date. You know, many years ago, Bubba was giving this he was giving this drill in Diamond Hall, and I remember all the daddies were up the front. Daddy Kumaka was still with us. This was, I think, before 2007. But the topic to Bubba was like, Bubba, you know, how long have we got? When's Vinash? When's destruction? And of course, as you know, Bubba never really gives a date for that. And of course, Bubba then presented back to the front row of the daddies and seniors and said, well, are you ready? And of course, no one said anything. And then when Bubba gave this drill, I had this, and of course in Diamond Hall with 24,000 people, 23,000 people or something, it's never really silent. In a physical sense, is at any one time there's 10, 15 people coughing and like it just goes on. There's no real dead silence as such. But when he did this drill, I had the experience of being so present in the moment and soul conscious and the feeling of this eternity of this moment that I thought, okay, like this is when Vinash will take place, destruction. It will be in the present moment. Mm. And of course, you know, when Bubba sometimes says, he says, okay, even today, you know, Merle was like, okay, if you're remembering someone, such and such, your last moment or last breath, dot, 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 whatever our thoughts are at that moment the soul leaves the body. Mm-hmm. So the thinking, then if the thinking, if we're in the present moment, the thinking has stopped. And of course, we're with Baba in that present moment. So it was almost like this experience was like, of course, Baba can't. How could he give a date for the present moment? He can't. Otherwise, it'd be like saying, oh, destruction's going to happen now. And you look around, well, nothing's happened, you know. But actually, at this time when Baba was doing that particular meeting, you probably remember in Japan they had that big tsunami, and there's a lot of thousands of souls left the body in that big tsunami in Japan in that time. And of course there was the nuclear power station was damaged, and of course a lot of people left the body. So I was thinking, well, of course, for those souls directly related to that in that thing, that was their last moment.
Yeah,
now that
Fukushima.
Was their destruction.
Fukushima.
So it was like the feeling, of course, it's the present moment, which is important, but then how to keep in the present moment. And this is a tricky part because, you know, all our karma from the past has to be settled. Otherwise, what's going to happen? My intellect's going to keep going back to that. And of course, if there's desires for something future, then the intellect's going to be in that. And it won't be in the present. It'll be keep getting pulled to future or past, but never really enjoying this moment in that state with Baba. Because, like the other day, Suribai was in his class just yesterday or day before, you know, and he spoke a lot about giving it to Baba and bringing Baba in the picture and what Baba's doing and that whole conversation with Baba. And of course, that's that ultimate facet of that connection is. In that sense, but in the drama sense, it's like, do I accept everything as it is and everyone as they are? Mm. And of course, if I don't, then I can't be in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible because there'd be some dialogue going on. That's not right. That shouldn't be happening. This could be this. This could have been that. This could have, all this sort of things of why the drama should be a different way will be playing out in my mind. There'll be problems because I won't be accepting what's actually happening. And of course that means, you know, if I do accept completely everyone as they are and drama as it is, what is that state? You know, in a true sense, that's the state of the angel. No, because we'll just be the observer, the same as Baba. We won't have any questions because we'll just be watching as it is, as Baba does. Baba says he just observes the drama. He says, no, no one's to blame. This has to happen. You have to play out your part and just have good wishes and good feelings and pure feelings for souls. And of course, that's the role of the angel, where it's completely detached, the detached observer, no thinking, no judging, this is right, this is wrong, just observing and having good wishes. So we have glimpses of this stage, but of course then how can we increase that length of time where I can really be in that state of the detached observer, which of course is in the here and now. It can't be in any other place. Because mm-hmm. when we're the observer, we're just observer, we're not thinking, we're just being. And of course, this is there's so many things which we could say could pull us out of that space. And of course, we do have to think about things sometimes, there's no doubt, but minimum, you know. And of course, we all know that as well. When something happens where we're really pulled by that or shaken by that, what actually happens? We just can't stop thinking about it.
Mm.
We can't let it go. It just keeps coming back. We play it over and over and over and over and over again in the mind. If we introspect in that and see why is that as well, we'll see that, okay, there was some attachment, there was some expectation. All the things which like on that side of the vice side or the impurity side will be there, which doesn't allow us to be in this present moment with Baba. It'll keep pulling us away from that. So then we realize, okay, we learn from that, and of course that's the game, is that we're here and we're learning. If it happens, okay, we learn through it, but then next time, and of course Mama's experience was like that too, where she had that ability where she made a mistake or something, she wouldn't do that again. She wouldn't do the same mistake twice. So we learn through that, but of course then we become more wise and more attuned to that, where we catch ourselves when we start thinking about something, especially in the drama sense, where we think something's happened where we don't accept that that's happened and we think it should be another way. Because that takes us away from this moment with Baba. And the other day Suri Bhai was saying it's like a dustbin, no? The dustbin aspect is when we're looking at all the defects and all the things that are not right and all that, and we have that in our minds. So it makes sense.
Yeah. So Augusto. We usually listen to David playing the flute, and today Baba spoke in the Murli that the Murli is the flute. So he is also playing the flute today. Don't you see this? Yeah, I like what you were saying about this capacity of Mama to learn, because indeed there are two only possibilities when we face the challenge of our lives: or we learn, or we get trauma. There is no other possibility in the middle. And so to keep on learning is something very important for our Brahmin lives, so that we cannot just create a better future, create a better world, but also to live each and every moment as a wonderful moment with Baba. And sometimes when we are engaged in service, there might be some tricky when you are, for example, preparing some service to happen, preparing some activities to happen. And so it looks like as if you were working and you spend much more time preparing the event than in the event itself. Like you prepare a speech for 1 hour, and then you prepare for a long time that speech, or you prepare some important program, some Shivratri program, any program that we can do, and we spend much more time preparing it, making the communication of it, preparing the stage, preparing everything to happen. And it seems that we are all of that time preparing something to happen in a given moment, and that moment is going to be wonderful, amazing. But the whole process of the preparation is also very much important. The whole process of the thoughts that you create with Baba to make that thing happen. It's not only the moment that it happens that is important. The whole preparation is important. That's very much about living in the here and now. Every moment we are here and now.
In that also, it's like, you know, it's like, of course, if we're in the present moment doing the action, that is the end result as well. Because then it's nothing to do with the end result, actually, because the end result is still going to be now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like almost, yeah. I have to be in the, when we, sometimes I see in art department, when we get some new Sevadari that will come in, and they're, all they have to do is cut the posters, yeah? There's a straight line. And sometimes you see the lines are like angled and like, There's like, how could you cut a straight edge that bad, so to speak? And you think, well, it's just that aspect of presence. The person who's doing that, they're not actually present at all. the mind's completely somewhere else. They're cutting, but they're not actually, when they're cutting, the mind is not there. It's totally thinking of something else. Otherwise, how would you not be able to cut just a straight line? It seems so simple. And so this is a very interesting aspect of when we do something, can we be fully in that present doing that? And of course, that's what makes it an art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, and today in the book message that we heard in Panavbhavan that Shashaban brought, she was describing a flying vehicle, the Pushpak Viman, and there was a button to make that flying vehicle to work, and in the button it was written concentration. And I think it's very good to reflect about this, because when we think about the golden age, okay, we are creating with Baba a wonderful world, a perfect world, a paradise. But in fact, the golden age is a result of what's happening now, what we are doing with Baba now. Just like the program, the special program that you prepare is the result of the whole preparation for it. The golden age is also a consequence of what we are preparing now, what we are doing now with Baba. And so when we think about the Vimans, we imagine, this is just like a plane, like the planes that exist here that bring us to Madhuban, that make our journeys. And so there will be very easy. I just need to press a button and then it's going to work. So in the Boga message from today, Baba was saying very clearly, you need to have concentration. That's the power of concentration that we create now that will enable us to drive a flying vehicle there in the golden age. Otherwise, if we don't create these sanskars here, we will not be able to drive flying vehicles there in the golden age. And this aspect of concentration is really a big challenge for many of us. We keep on thinking about different things, different aspects, which are not really connected to the present, which are not really connected to what I'm doing now, which is not really connected to that very moment in the confluence age. And we keep on expecting that things in the drama could be different, as David was saying, and we don't enjoy the beauty of the present moment in which I have the opportunity to, while doing whatever I am doing, to bring Baba's energy to that place, to those souls, to that particular situation. So it's very important for us to reflect about the power that we have with Baba to create a new, not just a new road, but the new road is the consequence of what we are doing now in Baba's remembrance. And that will create all the beauty of the golden age, which will just be a consequence of what we are doing now. And I also remember yesterday's Murli, when Baba was speaking a new aspect. He was saying that not only two souls may have the same parts, but he was also saying that the same soul cannot repeat his or her role twice in the drama. And I was just reflecting about this, because here in the confluence age, we are revising our whole history. And in this history, there are certainly great characters in the golden age, in the silver age, of course, great characters. But even in the Copper Age and in the Iron Age, there are great characters as well as very bad characters. And sometimes we may have some perceptions, we may bring some sanskars of these characters, and maybe we prevent ourselves to really enjoy the power of what Baba is bringing us to create, which in ultimately is the Golden Age. That we look at our past characters, and it's as if we thought, okay, it's nice, that character is nice, like a Copper Age character, okay, that one is nice, that one is very good, because we are looking at our reference of the Iron Age. So for an Iron Age character, totally body-conscious character, so a Copper Age must be a wonderful character. But Baba is giving us an opportunity to do much more, to create a role that is really perfect, and this perfect needs to begin now, not with perfectionism. This is also a sanskar that is quite tricky for me. And last years I've been able to put this aside, this necessity of making everything perfect. But in the reality, my connection with Baba is enabling me to make things perfect in the way that it has to be in the drama, like David was saying. So if we are present, observing this whole drama happening around us with its beauty, with the beauty of what it has to happen, which was just like 5,000 years ago, and it's going to be just like 5,000 years ahead. So we really enjoy the beauty of Brahmin life, of being a co-creator with Baba. So it's very beautiful to enjoy the present moment with this consciousness that I am a co-creator with Baba.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting aspect of it, because it's like, yeah, it's almost like it's like you could say, is there any mistakes in the drama? Hands up, who thinks there's any mistakes in the drama? No mistakes. But how much do we think, you know, when sometimes things happen, we don't accept that, again coming back to that aspect of drama, because it's like you know, there's not any really thinking involved in being present. You know, you can't think your way into being in the present moment. It doesn't work. You're either in the present moment or you're not. There's just one or the other. And of course, this is why Baba says now or never. And sometimes, you know, even the aspect of where we can bring our thoughts. You know, if we're a long time in a state of silence where we're just observing, and then a thought emerges, usually we can put that thought into practice very easily, because it's one of very, very, very few. Opposite is if I've got a lot of thoughts, a lot of thinking and that, a lot of things I want to do and desires and all this, how much of that can I put into practice in a short space of time? Probably not much, because there's so much going on in the mind. But when is that state of silence? And that's why Baba says, you know, if you have the thought, put it into action as quick as possible, a short space of time. And that means when we get to that space where we're really in that state of silence as the observer, detached observer, that, and a thought does come, we can easily enact on that straight away. And I think we all have this to certain levels and different degrees where we have that, but I know for myself sometimes where, you know, the thought comes and then you can do that straight away, it's almost you don't, there's no delay in that. And of course, more and more that that happens, it means the more and more I'm actually free then, because it's not like the opposite example is you had a thought of something, you could have done it there and then, and you let that go, and then all of a sudden that thing's gone past, time has gone between that, and you think, wow, I had the thought of doing that, and it didn't happen. And of course, so we learn through that as well, where if we do have the thought, put it into action, especially in a pure thought like that. And of course, the other thing is that which really comes into play when we're experiencing the power of the present moment or in the now with Baba is that I'm just the instrument as well. And then the talking also and vocabulary won't be that I'm doing. The I and the my also disappear, because we realize then if we're the instrument, what does that really mean? The instrument means that Baba's doing. I've just made myself available in this space of silence for Baba to work, because that's how he gets his job done. Of course, we've all heard when Baba says Karan Karavanha, no? He can work directly or indirectly through anyone. And of course, when we bring ourselves back to that space of the as the instrument, of course, that's what Baba does. He uses us as an instrument. Yeah, we are his helpers.
The instrument just needs to be in tune.
Yeah, and in tune means that dead silence or in that space of silence and in the present moment. He can't use it if the mind is racing and going here and there, because we're not even here. We're not even home. And sometimes I think this space also, so I talk to myself in this way that it's like that's home base. Home base is being in the present moment, that stillness of the present moment, observer, silence, with Baba, of course, is his land, it's his, the land of silence, that's our home, that's Baba's language. So to me that's like home base, and as much as possible to be in that state of home base, because if it is the last second, you're in that in the right space. You're present with Baba and you're not thinking of something else, thinking of future or something of the past, but you're in that space in the present moment. Of course, Baba speaks so much about this, you know, so many times he says, you know, your last thoughts will lead you to your destination. Mm-hmm. You know, so if our where's our destination after here? It's soul world, no? End of Sangamyug? It's soul world, and then we come into golden age. So if our last thoughts are in that space, not even thoughts, sometimes I think it wouldn't even be thoughts, it would be that space of silence, because that is our home. And I feel really we bring that state of soul world here as well. If we're in that state of deep silence and dead silence, that is soul world. It's just we happen to be in the physical body. And this is an interesting part too, because souls that, you know, have had NDE experiences, near-death experiences, and even some of our daddies, you know, in the past, where their souls left the body and they don't even know they've left the body.
Mm-hmm.
Baba said to them, you can't go back and take leave, you've left the body. But they don't know they've left, they have left the body, but they don't know they've left the body. So there's such a fine difference between if the soul's in the body or out of the body, there's not that much difference. It's just you don't have the body. And we might think, oh, that's a big difference, but the soul is still the soul. So it's an interesting part of that where, okay, and this is one thing I feel too when Baba says, you know, like this is our life of dying a living death, yeah?
Mm.
We've died to the ego, we've died to the false sense of, you know, when sometimes when we say, who are you? And you give me a name, okay, you're so-and-so, and I'm this, and I'm a, you know, whatever role we're playing. I mean, this is very, you know, early stages, you know, when we introduce ourselves. And this is why Baba would say in the beginning, when he'd meet people, have we met before? He'd ask, you know. And the person say, no. He said, yes, we were here before. 5,000 years ago, you were here in front of me. Of course we've met before. You know, or... You know, where are you from? This was another classic one, you know. when we come in front of somebody and say, oh, where are you from? Well, Parumdam, no? No, I'm from Australia. No, you're from Parumdam. You know, so it's like, it's a simple thing, but it means it's an awareness of the present moment as well, because when we're really present in the moment and in that space with Baba, then of course we're not going to get caught by that sort of... And sometimes people are generally, you know, when they say that, maybe it's a lack of their understanding too, and just for a conversation thing. And of course, we'll give our introduction. You know, Augusto's from Brazil. He's born in Brazil. I took this birth in Australia, but that's not where we're from, mm-hmm. You know, in a true sense. So it's almost like that whole how to bring my world back to, and it, you know, in gold, what is it in Golden Age? Golden Age, we're all artists. Everyone's an artist in Golden Age. And why is that? Why is everyone an artist in Golden Age? It's because all the attention, 100% attention, is on the present moment doing whatever action the soul's doing all the time. There's no past and there's no future. It's just completely in that moment doing that action. And why does that make it as an artist? And even here as artists, they all know that you get to that place and they call that the zone, or this is the zone to be in, and that's that space of being 100% present in that action. And then it becomes an art. And that's what makes the beauty of that, is because all the energy, all the concentration, the attention, everything is in the present moment. It's not outside of that. So that action then becomes almost divine in that sense. And then whoever witnesses that or experiences that, they will feel that vibration in that, because it's so intense and so concentrated in that moment, in that action, that it's something that's going to pull souls also to that space. I think, wow, there's something about this that's really powerful. And we know it with food. We know it with, when Baba says, prepare the food in remembrance, do this in remembrance, you know, do the karma yoga. That's all part of that as well, because it means that action is going to be so powerful that whoever takes the food, they're going to get pulled to Baba through that, or it's going to influence them because it's done in that consciousness.
Yeah, one experience that I've been creating a lot here in Madhubha is the experience of the five forms that Baba teaches us, which is an exercise that many years ago when I heard for the first time Baba speaking in the Murli, I had this perception, this is the exercise that is going to make me a powerful yogi. And in many situations of my Brahmin lives, I left this, put this aside for some time. But I always go back to it. And it's wonderful to see the Trikaldarshi vision that Baba has, the vision of the three aspects of time that Baba gives us. And the way that we are in this very moment creating each one of the experiences that we are going to experience throughout the whole cycle. Because on some perspective we could think, yeah, every moment is eternal because it's going to repeat 5,000 years ahead. And so we are having this session now. We are talking about the power of now with Baba. And we are going to do this every 5,000 years.
Which is now.
Yeah, which is now. But it's amazing to see this vision that Baba has, in which he brings us the consciousness that we are souls, that we are tiny points of light in Paranda. And when we think about that, we are doing it now. We are now having this experience. Or when we think about the form of the deity, it is also now, because I am creating now this capacity to create constantly the wonder, the beauty that will surround me physically in the golden age. But I'm creating it now. I'm doing this now with Baba. I am creating the consciousness of being a constant donor, a constant giver. And we are doing this with him now. So golden age is now, if I have this consciousness. And when we think about the puja, the worship worthy, we are also creating this now, when we are experience our complete stage, when we experience the soul in the whole beauty, in the whole wonder of the soul. We are doing this now. And it's not just that the worship worthy form is the result in the future of the energy that we are creating now, of the impact of our purity with Baba, and then it's going to express in the form of a beautiful image in a temple 2005, 2600 years later. But it's now that we are creating this complete stage, this perfection, this complete form. And then Baba brings us to the Brahmin form, which is the only moment in which we have the consciousness of all of this, of all of this process, which is not only throughout the whole cycle, but it's now, in this very moment, we are creating all of this. And as David Havarad said about the Farishta, the angel, and the word Farishta is quite different from angel. Farishta really means to be complete in my solitude, which is my capacity of giving, no matter what's happening. Being able to be in the middle of the upheavals with such a power of presence now, such a consciousness of my greatness, of my self-respect, bestowing this to whatever situation that I'm facing, whatever place that I'm going through. So it's really been a wonderful experience, and such a self-respect that Baba gives us, of looking at our whole eternity, our whole power that we have, because we are with him now, and creating eternally this beauty, creating eternally this wonder. And this is now. This is not a beautiful place that we are going in the future after destruction takes place. It's now that we are doing this. And David was speaking about, it was very beautiful, the reflection you brought from Baba's Murli, when you thought about the destruction happening now. Because in fact it was the destruction of your own negativities. It was happening at that very moment.
Well, it was that insight to that this moment now is eternal, and that it always, this moment now is eternal. So if I can be in this present moment now, that is the eternity of the soul. Like that's the home base. That's the space Baba's saying we should be in. Because if we're not, then we're going to be in the past or the future. And I remember sort of when you were just speaking, I was remembering Daddy Komarka, because Daddy Komarka had the specialty of really being in the present moment. And what that actually translates to, when somebody's really in that, it means they really hear. If you're speaking to them, they really hear what you're saying and feel what you're saying. You know, the opposite is when somebody's speaking to you and you're already in your head and you're thinking about what you want to say back. Mm-hmm. So you're not actually listening to them. Mm-hmm. The mind is thinking, and before they've even finished, you want to say something. So you actually haven't heard the person, and you're already thinking of your response. So presence and being in and outs mean you're totally hearing what that other person's saying. And Daddy had this specialty, and of course, she would meet one by one, in especially in Pandabhavan, in the courtyards. She used to sit on a specific place there, and one by one souls would come up to her. And because she had that practice, she made meditation and her connection with Baba very, very natural. It was her world. It wasn't like Daddy's thinking, oh no, I'm going to Baba's room for meditation or something. No, she made her life meditation. She made every moment her meditation. So there was no question of going anywhere to do something. She was already doing it. You know, it's like almost, that's the irony of it too, because I remember also once here with Bridge Mohanbhai, he's saying, okay, should we go for meditation? And people put up their hand. He said, well, if you're going for meditation, then what are you doing now? What are you doing now? But don't we go somewhere for meditation? He said, no, make your meditation now. Make your life meditation. So it's not you going somewhere to do that. Just do it. You know, so it was almost like, and Daddy, of course, and when this place was bought, this land was bought, at that time I was in Pandabhavan, and Daddy gave the message that, okay, there's this piece of land that's been purchased the other side of Mount Abu, and it was very cheap. It was from a dairy farmer in the Salgal village down here. And then people were saying, but Daddy, we don't have any money. You know, like how, what to do with a property. But Daddy said, just start. Just start it, you know. it was that complete faith that it will happen, you know. And this is one of the things too, which is interesting with that, in the sense of power of now with Baba, is means that once we just enact on that, we don't have to worry about what's next. Because when we're really making the best use of this moment, the next moment, it's still the same moment, but it unfolds in that way. You can't think that through. It's impossible almost to think through all the things that are going to happen to get to that. You just start, and the next thing comes along, the next thing comes along, the next thing comes along. And it's only because we've just started that starts the process. And of course, and these were the questions, you know, people had with Daddy when we started here. Where's the money going to come from? She said, just do it. Baba will get it done. It will happen. And of course it happened in a very short space. Another interesting part of, I think, from my own experience too, is like when we're doing something we love doing, that's very important as well. Because it means we can easily be in the present moment doing that particular task. And what actually happens then, of course, time disappears as well. You know, it's like if we have a really good meditation, what happens? If we have a really powerful Amrit Vela, 45 minutes is just like, almost like no time at all. But if we're having a meditation and there's something going on in the mind and we're not concentration, 45 minutes can be torture. Yeah, if we're not concentrated, you know. So it's really, you can see that if we're really, and of course it's the same with our action, when we're doing something we really love doing, if we have that fortune to be doing some service or we do something we really love doing, of course time disappears and we're easy to be in the present moment doing that. And of course that's a classic in our work and all this as well, because if we're in a job or something, we don't like that job, what's happening all the time, we're going to be looking at our clock, when's this going to finish, you know. So it almost like that pulls us out of that. We're doing something, if we're not, don't like doing that, it's going to be a big challenge to be in the present moment with Baba.
Yeah, and this is valid for anything that we have to do. Like one method that I usually hold in my Brahmin life to keep the remembrance alive in my daily routine is to connect the actions that I'm doing with some spiritual exercise. Like, for example, if I am eating, I am remembering Baba as my mother, and Baba is giving me that food, that purified energy, and that energy is purifying me, purifying my body and creating a golden aged body. So to connect the actions, because everything that we see in the physical world is created through the spiritual energy. So we can connect anything. Like if you are going up or going down stairs, you can remember the picture of the ladder. Anything that we are doing, we can be present, bringing something from Baba to that moment. Or just remembering, I, the soul, am doing this action. And I was reflecting here in Madhuban about why I am reactive to this exercise of thinking, I, the soul, am doing this and that. And my conclusion is that I need to put something else to this exercise. My teacher speaks about it every day when she's reading the Murli in Rio. And I feel this necessity to bring an energy of donation. So I've been working very much here in Madhuban, these sanskars of a deity, of a donor. I need to donate to this table, I need to donate to this chair, I need to give all the time, to give Baba's energy through me all the time. And I realized that this can be a good way to make this exercise. So connecting our activities with spiritual aspects of Baba's knowledge helps us a lot. And as David was speaking about that, Prakashmana was also remembering nearby. Once I was with one sister from Brazil in Shantivan, and we told to the sister who was in his cottage that we were here. And he values a lot the big journey that we make. And so we went to his garden and we just stayed there. And he was just there. And we were doing nothing. And so if we made some question, he would answer. If someone would come, he would give toli, he would give a blessing. Otherwise, we would just be there. And I was reflecting about that it's not that we were really doing nothing there, just taking from the garden, taking from the moments. But I was really feeling that nearby was there as a bestower to give. So we were just there to give. And that's what we are here for.
And sister, I think there's anyone has question, is it? Is that anyone wanted to ask anything or question?
Yeah, or comment or add or contribute in some way.
Yeah. Everyone's content.
Yeah, it's everyone enjoying the silence and the presence.
Yeah, that was interesting with Nawayabai, because it was really he had that, you know, power of silence, and of course he was very much. Many times I'd gone to him, and he would just be so present. And if he was in his garden, he would say, "How beautiful," you know, and he'd be looking at the birds and the squirrels and just the nature, because that's one thing that also pulls us back to the present moment as well, as just the beauty of the natures. And of course it's an old saying as well, no, do we have time to smell the flowers or see the flowers, you know? And that's one of the things also, when we're present, and even with Baba, it means we see all these things around us all the time. Because sometimes I used to have the practice, okay, can I be that aware of each step when I go A to B, be that present that I am really aware of each step. And of course, many times you can go for a long way without even being present at all, thinking of something future, and of course not really where I am at all, you know. So there's many practices we can have to, and sometimes I feel even a very simple thing, you know, sometimes when we do a meditation or commentary or something, where nearly always it will start with a breath, no? Take a deep breath and sort of, and of course once we just bring all that attention back to this present moment, even to the body as such, it means the focus then is on this present moment, and of course that will bring us to that space of silence as well. And of course it's a concentration as well, because a lot of the part is, I remember when I first started this, I used to, because I was out in the outback, but my translight for my meditation was a little chrome thumbtack, little drawing pin on the woodwork, and I used to put a book in front of me with a candle, and that candle would reflect off that tiny little thumbtack like this beautiful point of light, like 8 rays of point of light, and that used to be my translight, where I'd sit just about eye level and completely concentrate on that point, and thinking, Bubba's this point of light, I'm a point of light, the same size, same shape. Of course Bubba's part is the only soul that doesn't take birth and rebirth, so he remains complete eternally. That's why he's Bubba. And of course, just with that concentration, I remember lengths of time going past where it was so concentrated that my experience in that first few weeks of starting was like things would just happen where I just wouldn't react, which previously I reacted to, and I thought, wow, there's something in this meditation which is really powerful, and I was changing. And I'm sure when I reflect now back at that, it was because it was so intense, that concentration. And we know ourselves, now, when we're really concentrated on something, and I love the analogy of the magnifying glass, you know, when you've got the sun's energy, if you imagine that as Bubba, the sun, and you've got this glass and you're concentrating that sunlight to a point where it burns on the thing, and when you really got that steady and for a length of time, that will ignite that flame, or if you got it focused on something combustible. But just that aspect of the concentration, you know, when it's really still and we're really focused and concentrated, magic happens. But we've got to get to that place where we can put ourselves where we can really have that aspect of concentration. And it's interesting too with the artwork, because coming here to Bubba, to Madhuban, painting Bubba's pictures, when we create something as well, sometimes, you know, like if we're not really that instrument completely, then we'll have the thought that I've done something, or I've painted this. And then of course what happens then is that we can't detach from that either. So many times when I'd paint these pictures of Bubba and Shiv Bubba, a lot of them in the very beginning, for me they weren't my source of meditation. I'd be much happier, you know, seeing the little reflection off the stainless steel thing as a point of light and concentrate on something like that, because if I'd look at the picture, then I'd be thinking, oh, I could have a few more rays here, or it could be a little bit more like that, or a bit more like that. So I'd be preoccupied with the thinking of that creation. Others may be no problem. They might say, oh, wow, that's wonderful. But for when we do something, if we're not completely detached from that, then, of course, we're going to be thinking, oh, you know, it's either not good enough, or it could be like this, or it could be a bit more like that. So I'd be focusing on something, you know, the little reflection of a chrome piece, or, you know, something where it was just enough where you could hold the concentration and go into Bubba through that concentration.
Yeah. Nice. She wants to say something?
Just a comment, really. So the topic was on the power of now. And when I heard about the topic, I was very interested. And I thought, oh, and you had some preconceived ideas. And you've taken it on from a different slant. And so my preconceived ideas was it was going to be about telling me how I can do service now. Yeah. So then I thought, okay, it's given me now, given me the opportunity for a rethink. Because then I started thinking, okay, the daddies went out with just a suitcase and basic necessities. And that's my rethink. I'm thinking, okay, I now need to think about. So my preconceived ideas was that you're going to be telling us how we can do service now, methods and so on. And I'm thinking, no, it's not that. You have to come up with it yourself. You niche, create your own niche. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Om Shanti. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for commenting.
Yeah. It's been helpful.
Because it will emerge, no, everything always emerges for all of us in the present moment. Ideas come in the present moment, insights come in the present moment, and of course we don't have to worry about the future in that aspect, because once we're in that mode, it just keeps going, because it's a flow of energy, you know, when we're in the present moment. Ideas come. We could never have thought of that before time, or that thought could never have come before its own time. It has to come in the present moment. We just have to make ourselves available in that present moment so Baba can do his job. Is service?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because we're going to be, I mean, anyone who's in that space, it's an energy which is like, Baba used to be in that space a lot. I mean, obviously he was before he became Karmateet, because that's why when people come into the space of somebody who's really present, everything disappears, any problems. Just that power of presence. What's the problem? Because most of the problems are all in here. It's nothing to do with the present moment. We can always deal with somebody coming to the front door of our house. If somebody knocks on the door, we can always get up and either let them in or don't let them in. But if it's imaginary or something that might happen or could happen, or what if this happens, what if that, we can't deal with that because it doesn't exist. It's only in the mind. There's no resolution to that. It's always in the present moment. We can always deal with it. That's why in crisis situations, everyone works together. When there's calamities, people say that are in those situations that they all work together. Color, country, religion, all disappear. Everyone works together because that's the present moment and that's our natural state. We just have that of giving, of caring, of looking after, and that's it. But it's when we're outside of that, when we have differences with the color and country and position, you know, male, female, all the identifiable forms, physical forms, that also creates another, I mean, in Baba's words, it's body consciousness, no, in that sense. And this is one thing when I was saying about Daddy Komaka, didn't matter who come in front of Daddy Komaka, whether they're wearing colored clothes or whatever, she would see them equally. She didn't have that, what are you doing? You're wearing colored clothes. You know, are they Brahmin or not a Brahmin? No. She had that equal vision for those souls as the soul. She just saw the soul, nothing else, and was present with them. So,
yeah, I can also share my experience regarding this specific meeting where we are now, because I got the invitation a couple of weeks before coming to Madhuba, and I could think in this limited way, thinking that only this 1 hour and 20 minutes that we've been sharing here, this is the only one time for service. But my whole experience to see the whole context of all the experiences that I've had with Baba throughout these 2 weeks here in Madhuba, and all the energy that I am vibrating while experiencing everything that Baba is giving me, being open to everything that Baba is giving me, this is service all the time. So not only the opportunity to be here and the preparations and so, okay, in that moment, at that moment I'm going to make service. No, the whole process is service. The whole process is about my consciousness, my realizations of being a giver, of being a bestower. So not only this specific moment in this meeting, the whole journey is service. And it's happening now at each and every moment. It's service all the time. If I'm connected with Baba, of course.
I think that's our time. Yeah. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for shedding light on this beautiful topic with both of your rich experiences. And I really loved the explanation or the new definition of the knowledge you gave. In Laukik, they consider the power of now is to concentrate. It's just concentration. But for us to be in that eternal stage, mm-hmm. in the true identity or the seed stage, is power of now. Mm-hmm. And power of now, we can do magic. It's like when we concentrate, it's brother was sharing, the mind is wandering and he's not able to cut it even straight. So when we are in that moment, we can create wonders every moment. But it doesn't mean that we have to plan or think a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember when someone asked the Prakash Mani Dadi, because she keeps meeting VIPs all over the world, and they might meet her after 1 year or 10 years, still she remembers them. So how you're able to remember so much? So she said, it's like the moment I meet them, I know them, but I don't think about them. It is like the devtas in the heaven. They have, that's the power of now, wherein it unfolds exactly at the time it has to. And we are not continuously thinking about it. And what we do is we keep on planning. We have to what to do, how to do. But the brother beautifully shared, like, that he didn't think about the end result, how they're going to build such a big complex. It is just that moment and the faith in Baba, I'm just Nimit. So a lot of wonderful inputs we had, and also about how to be detached. It's like drama, have faith in drama. That it's beautiful, wonderful, and it's Kalyankari. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you.
Om Shanti.
Yeah. Thank you.
Om Shanti.